how God moved me. Before I you know, was really with him, he was moving me to talk to him, to pray to him, to seek him out, right? And that's what these affections of religion are. But it's also very much a part of biblical language to talk about the affections of the heart and the mind with the Lord. And this is actually a psalm that I like very much when I was in a real hard spot. And I've been in a few hard spots. Some of us have been in hard spots, hard times. Says, you know, I actually penned a little song to this, but it says, I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. Indeed, more than the watchman for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is loving kindness, and with him is abundant redemption. He will redeem Israel from all its iniquity. The idea of waiting for the Lord is like you're patiently looking to God, knowing the things that he has said. He puts these two things together, waiting for the Lord, and in his word, I do hope. And in the Psalms, things are often paralleled. And the idea of saying, I'm looking to God to do what his word says he would do, to be the God that he says he is in my heart, in my life. Sometimes we can get distracted. Sometimes the problems of the world can become a distraction to our walk with God and our ability to, like, you know, be where we need to be with him. And so this idea of waiting patiently with an expectation that God is going to do something. The idea of, you know, just waiting, like the watchman's work was over in the morning. And so the watchman, you know, he says, I like a watchman waiting for the dawn, you know. He says, that's what you know, he's doing. Yeah. It's okay. That's it. Yeah, we call it the cry room. But it's really a playroom. Yeah. I don't know that the kids cry in there. Maybe the parents might. So he's talking about this longing, patient desire to be with God. And he tells us, he says, you know, because of all the promises and all the things that God has told us he would do, there is a sense of hope in waiting and asking and calling on him, right? The idea of what will God do? You know, how many times do we walk around a little bit of uncertainty about whether, you know, God loves us or whether we've loved him properly. And that's what this patient waiting, he said, you know, with the Lord there is loving kindness, and this is a word in Hebrew, chesed, which is a covenant love, a love for his people. God never stops loving us, but we can get distracted, we can get disconnected, we can move away from his love. He's always the same. We change, right? And that's the idea of waiting on the Lord, calling on the Lord, waiting to, and say, you know, Lord, again, I need to experience, I need to just know that I'm still yours, you know? And that's part of this waiting of the Lord. He talks about redeeming us, right? And again, we know that redemption better than anyone. The things that God, what's another thing that inhibits our walk with God? A sense of not being worthy, a sense of shame or guilt upon us. You know, I mean, I know God is holy. I know Jesus is powerful. I know there's a heaven. I know that, you know, everything God ever said is true. But what I don't know is whether I'm right, right? But then we have, you know, the word, even in the Old Testament, surely he has borne our griefs, he has carried our sorrows. Yet we've esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that made us whole. And with his stripes, we are healed. Just the idea, we know that that's about the cross of Jesus Christ. And he says, when we wait upon the Lord and we can experience his loving kindness, we also experience his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, right? So this is one of the words that is used in the Psalms that talks about patiently waiting on the Lord. There's another one, we sang it today. Have you not known, have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. One of the things, again, God doesn't change. God is always powerful. I'm not, right? God is always, we used to call it on fire, you know? You being on fire, being passionate about God, loving God is the thing we talked about last week, with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, all your soul, everything that we are, you know? We can wax and wane. We never want to get to be like the church of Ephesus where Jesus said, you've lost your first love. We want to keep that alive. Again, waiting on the Lord. Why? We look to the Lord. We ask God because God is the source of our strength. If we ever think that we can do things apart from God, we lose touch with everything that really gives us power, grace, mercy, ability. Right? It's only God. He's the only source of strength, the only source of power. He says, even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It's the idea, why? Why wait on the Lord? Why spend time looking towards heaven? Why meditate upon the word of the Lord? Because in the Lord is our only hope of strength. In the Lord is our only source of rescue. In the Lord, right? And so this is you know, one of our favorite psalms, again, from Isaiah. It says, as the deer pants for water, brooks, so my soul pants for you. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night. Hear the language of panting, thirsting. You know, Jesus told us the one who hungers and thirsts after righteousness will be filled. I really hope we see the language of Scripture is a language of passionate desire for God. Passionate desire for God. That we call upon his name, we look to him, we want him. And this psalmist is David, and David says, you know, I'm crying, I'm weeping because I want you. I want to be with you. I want to know you. I want to know your love and your strength and your power. And one day, I want to see you face to face. I want to be with you. David also writes in Psalm 27, one thing I have asked of the Lord, and that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his David is talking about two things at once. One is just the idea of being in the tabernacle and you know, in the presence of God's, you know, people and worshiping and calling on the name of the Lord all the days of his life. But one day that he would stand in the Holy of Holies, the real one, where the Lord God is enthroned, where the glory and the power and the love and grace of God overshadows everything and covers and fills every heart. And that there's real worship and real praise. We get those pictures from Revelation, that throne room that's a circle of all these multi-millions of beings, all of creation, all the angels, all the elders, all the saints, standing around the Lord and worshiping and praising him. And David says, oh, I want that. I want to be there. I long for that. He says, that's what I'm seeking. That's what I'm looking for. Paul talks about us desiring to be transformed, to be glorified, to be able to stand and live with God. He says, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our souls. Right? So you have this idea of of panting, thirsting, seeking, groaning for God. A desire, a passion. What Edwards calls affection. There's a religious affection. Now, I would say we don't create these. We've told you before in this is the third sermon about these things. God created us with affection. God created us with the capacity to seek, to thirst for God, to call on his name, to wait for him, to desire him. And the best use of those affections are when they are directed towards God. You know, we can misuse affections. I mentioned before, if you love your wife, that's a good thing. But if you love another woman the same way you love your wife, that's a terrible thing. That's a bad use of affection. And here, what the Bible describes for us is the affections rightfully directed towards God our Father and towards our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the touching of the Holy Spirit, that's what we should desire. That's what we should hunger for. That's what we should thirst for. That should be the passion of our life and the passion of our religion, that we should really desire God constantly, wanting his help. Again, without him, we don't have the strength. We'll falter, we'll fail. Part of what Edwards was concerned about was seeing people who had been awakened during the revival called the Great Awakening, but then their passion faded and they drifted. And so as I'm looking through these scriptures and I'm thinking about, you know, the graces of God and the passion for God, if that's alive, then we're alive. And God has put that in us. God has given us that capacity. As I said, before I was a Christian, God was calling me and drawing me and putting that desire to look up into the clouds and call upon his name, to seek him, even though I didn't know him very well, but to seek his help, to seek his strength, to seek him. And when he revealed himself to me, it was such a celebration of my heart and my life, and it's continued. But when we come in this place and we sing our songs and we look to heaven and we call upon God, it's part of it is the stirring of those passions. And we're here to seek God. We're here to call upon the name of the living God. We're here to thirst after God, to hunger after God, to desire him. But that also leads us into praise. And that's what this Psalm 63 talks about. He says, "You are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus I have seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory." And there he's, again, this whole idea of seeking, desiring. But then he talks about in a dry and weary land, right? Sometimes this world is a very dry, weary place. It can suck the life right out of your heart. Troubles, trials, tribulations, just difficulties, right? And yet that yearning for God, that desire for God, and what does God do? He pours out his love for us. It says, "Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips." The idea of lifting up our voices, lifting up our hands. The idea, I was looking at, trying to, you know, there's a couple of places in the psalm where he talks about lifting your hands. He said, "I lift up my hands towards your sanctuary. I lift up my hands towards your holy place." You know, not everybody does that. Not everybody, you know, has that experience where, you know, they. But the idea of what it is, it's not a, definitely not a look at me thing. It's like I'm reaching out toward God. I'm reaching out with my little arms towards eternity, saying, "God, here I am. I want to be with you. I want you so bad. I want you in my life." And so, you know, because God works in us, we get filled with praise. Sometimes when we've had a good experience with God, in the morning we wake up and we sing songs. Nobody tells us to. Nobody. It's just God. Just just fills our heart with praise. God fills us with love for him. And just we want to sing. We want to thank him. We want to see, you know, we see him more in everything when he's working in our hearts like that. These passions of the Lord. So I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. Again, waiting, and I, the description of a hard time in life, he brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. Just, you know, that sometimes when it gets hard. You know, I've tried to live my life by his word and in relation with God so that whatever discouragement, whatever sadness, whatever comes into my heart, I would deal with it with the Lord. I would deal with it by calling on his name. Deal with it by seeking his strength and his help. And this saying, he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. God has never let me down. He's never said, too bad for you. He's always kept me going, right? And he puts that song in our mouth, song of praise to our God. Many will see and trust in the Lord. Father, I pray for us today that we will have affection for you. We'll have passion, Lord, that we will wait for you, seek you, call upon you, hunger for you, thirst for you. And that we will know, mighty God, your holy power and grace in our lives. You'll fill our hearts with songs of praise, and you'll fill our minds with prayers, O Lord, and you'll lead us, Father, on a path that is pleasing to you. Help us, Lord God, never to lose our first love, never to lose our passion for you. Help us, as Paul told Timothy, to fan the flame of the gifts that you've given us. Bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.